Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday, March 22nd.
Welcome to the I Am Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the I Am Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Revies. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. It is 9 o'clock, March 22nd on a Tuesday, and I hope you all are having a wonderful day. Today, I have a very exciting guest. She is incredibly motivating and inspirational. She's done so much in her life, and I think you're going to really enjoy her stories and what she's able to share with you over this show. I just wanted to give a little brief intro to myself. As I said, I'm Dr. Simone Revies. I'm a certified business and life coach and a brain coach. I do a lot of work with neuroscience and combine it with coaching. So I call it neurocoaching, and that's what I do with my clients. It's incredibly effective, and it's wonderful to be able to help people that way. I came about to coaching through a long series of different careers, which is good because I got a lot of experience doing different things. But I always knew from the time I was about six that I wanted to help people. And I was a licensed clinical psychologist for about 13 years. And then I decided to get into coaching so I could get my word out to more people, because this information about the brain and about all of the mind-body linkages and modes of healing is so important that I want everybody to have access to it so that they can improve themselves and they can improve their lives. And it's really possible. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Georgine Summers. Hi, Georgine.
Hi, Simone. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It's actually a beautiful day here in Connecticut, for once.
Oh, it is.
Well, yes,
I'm up in Sacramento, and usually I'm from Palm Springs, but I'm up in Sacramento, and while it was 90 degrees yesterday in Palm Springs, I was up here where it was pouring and freezing.
Well, we had snow 2 days ago, so I don't know what's going on with the weather here, but it's been really odd.
Yeah.
I think the squirrels have been out. They thought it was spring about a month and a half ago, so it's been very, very strange.
They're confused.
Yes.
Well, you know, Georgine, I know you. We've been friends for a while, and we work together. We're associates. And in reading your bio, I was just really, the only word I can think of is wowed by your bio. The number of different things you've done and the extent to which you've achieved success in so many different areas, and your passionate caring about the people, the women or the young girls in Africa, and we'll get into all of that. But I wanted to ask you, you've had such an interesting life and you've jumped off the cliff so many times without a net. What motivates you?
Well, I think the motivation comes from wanting to experience new things, not wanting to be locked in a box in a comfort zone. It's easy to do that. I think most people have a tendency to stay in a specific place where they're close to friends from grammar school even, and where family is nearby, because it's fear that stops them. And I think for me, that was a motivation to not buy into that. I didn't want to allow fear to control my life ever. And so even though I was brought up in a fear-based family, my parents lived in New York. My father was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange when it crashed. He was a customer's man. And so he never, ever took chances again. And so even when he would advise me not to do things like buy a house, I looked at him, listened to him, and then turned around and did absolute opposite of that.
Did
because
anyway.
I didn't want to live in fear. Yeah, I didn't want to live like
right.
that.
Right. But isn't that what kids do to parents anyway? No, I'm just kidding.
well, yeah.
Yeah. The fact that your father was in the stock market, did that have anything to do with your later venture into commodities?
Absolutely not. You know,
okay.
I never, you know, I was such a child. I was so young at that. I mean, I wasn't born actually when he was in the market. I mean, I wasn't born until after they moved to California. But no, my going into the commodities business was purely a matter of need. So if you wanted me to touch on that, I'd be happy to.
Sure, I'd love you to.
Well, I had I was in New York City. I had a very successful fashion accessories business in California. And I was in New York City on business, walking down Fifth Avenue, singing New York, New York, which I will not do to your listeners today.
Oh.
But I was walking down Fifth Avenue, and I said, you know what, self, I think I should move here. It happened to be a gorgeous fall day, unlike
right.
many days in New York. And
yeah.
so I ended up, I opened a newspaper, I found an apartment in Greenwich Village, a true story, went down there, rented the apartment on the spot, went back to California at the end of my business trip, sold the showroom, and 8 weeks later I was living in New York. And I knew nobody there except for my sales rep. That was the only person I knew. And
right.
But I sat and wrote The Great American Novel. I thought it was going to be the next sequel to Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 months later, my savings account was dwindling. And so, again, I opened the paper, and there was a job there. And it said, do you want to make $75,000 a year or more? And this was 1980. So I said, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out it was in the commodities market on Wall Street and doing something, two things that I absolutely hated. One of them was cold calling, and the other one was being
yeah.
rejected. So
anyway,
that was the beginning. Right.
Yeah.
So that's how I ended up in the commodities market, but it was really serving a purpose, which was I needed money more than I hated the cold calling and feeling rejected. So I found a way around it, and I made a lot of money over the next year, and that was how I ended up doing that.
Right, right. Talk about avoiding pain to get pleasure. You needed to get that money. So.
Well, and there's a solution to every problem. I say there's a solution to every problem. And so
right.
the problem I had then was needing money. And so
mm-hmm.
my solution was, you know, so I could have sat there and said, no, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to be rejected. But I worked a unique way. When somebody would hang up on me, I'd call them right back and I'd say, I think we got disconnected. Now, where were we? And a
I
lot
love
of times, I got them back in again. And
I
so,
love that. You're resilient.
Right. I'm nothing if not resilient.
Right, right. Well, you know, you were involved in many careers, the fashion and the commodities. Later, I'm sure you'll tell us about being a nightclub owner. You're an adventurer. What led you to get involved in coaching?
Oh, in the coaching. Well, I had had a business for 20 years. I've always really wanted to help people. I mean, it's been something I've wanted to do. It's just in my nature. But anyway, I had a business that supported me very nicely anywhere in the world that I wanted to live. And so for 20 years, that went on, and I thought, of course, it was going to go on forever. But
right.
then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, it had started to die maybe 5 years ago. And so a couple of years ago, I said, well, I need to do something else, and I decided at that point that I was going to go back to school, and I went to Tony Robbins and graduated
yes.
from his school.
Many people know that name, Tony
yes.
Robbins.
Yep, and he's an incredible motivational speaker, so I went to his institute, and 3 months later, I graduated with commendations, and I was
right.
on my way, and I enjoy doing the coaching because I enjoy being able to help women. I mainly work with women,
mm-hmm.
empowering them to live
mm-hmm.
life to the fullest and to realize all of their dreams for growth and greatness. which I think is a very, it's a big project, but it's a very worthy one.
It's a noble cause, for sure, for sure. Now, yes. Tony Robbins, is it true what I hear about walking on fire?
I don't know. What did you hear?
That you have to walk on fire in his program. Did you do that?
I did. Actually, that was one of the, I think that was a pivotal moment for me because I did it in the early 80s when he had hundreds rather than thousands of people attending mm-hmm. his seminars. And it was an interesting thing because I had had a healthy fear of fire and I had because I had seen an explosion. I lived in California, and I was working on Santa Monica Boulevard, and there was an explosion of a big water tank. And mm-hmm. I saw them bring someone out, and they were burned badly, but still alive. And it upset me so badly that I had this fear of fire. And so my solution to that was I was going to go to Unleash the Power Within and walk on fire. And so, of course, everybody that you talk to knows all about it. They've never done it, but they know everything about it, so it's a faith.
Right,
it's
just... of course.
But I went, and you walk on 1,600-degree red-hot coals barefooted.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
I don't know what I would have done.
Well, I struggled with it when I got there. It was interesting because I went to the seminar, which was 3 days. I went there specifically to walk on the fire. And so the
right.
first night they're giving you all kinds of different healing exercises, basically, to heal your body. And then they take you out to the parking lot, and mm-hmm. you see the flames leaping up. And then they take you mm-hmm. out there about an hour or two later, and there's these pathways of red-hot embers. And so I took one look at that and said, well, I'm not doing that. You got to be kidding
me. That's your healthy fear of fire. That was your healthy fear of fire.
So then I had a discussion with myself. I'm not doing that, but this is why you came. But I'm not doing it. This is crazy. No one will know. And that was a pivotal moment because I say now, especially when no one is watching, is when you have to be true to your values.
Exactly. So, that's the definition of character, isn't it?
Right, right. And so I ended up, I got in, the thing that was pivotal was, as I was having this argument back and forth with myself, I looked over and two dwarfs were being assisted over the red hot coals. So I thought, if they can do this, I can do this. So I got in line. And there was a part of me that thought, by the time I get up to the front, the coals will be dark. And so you're going to laugh at this one. Because as I got to the front, the coals were getting darker. I got right to the front, and then I heard someone scream, "More hot coals." And the next thing I knew, guys running over with a wheelbarrow full of red hot embers, dumps it in front of me. They rake it out, and there I am. So there was no place to go except start saying, cool moss, and step out, which I did. And so that was my firewalk experience.
Oh, boy. How did you feel afterwards when you completed the walk?
Well, you know,
besides having hot feet.
Well, an interesting thing happened when you say hot feet. As I got into the middle, you know, they tell you not to run. And as I got to the middle, I could feel the hot embers on both insteps of my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept going. When you get at the end, there's like grass that's wet, and wipe my feet off. And so then I was into this suffering mood. So I was having a pity party with myself. And I said, oh, my God, this is terrible. It really hurt both feet. So when I got home, it was very late. And the next morning, I had a hair appointment before I was supposed to come back to the seminar. And I made up my mind I wasn't going back because my feet were hurting and I was in pain and this was terrible. And I was doing this, you know, oh, woe is me. And when I got home, I took off my socks and there were two clusters of fully formed blisters complete with liquid and everything on the insteps of both feet. It was awful.
Ouch.
So I put my socks back on and I went to bed because it was like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I woke up 2 hours later, and this is the God's honest truth. I took my socks off. I was all prepared not to go to the seminar. I was going to the hair appointment, but not the seminar.
Of course. If any of you were able to see the picture of Georgine, she has beautiful long blonde hair with two red streaks in it. It looks fantastic.
So the hair appointment was really critical. So
right.
Anyway, so I took the socks off, and both sets of blisters were totally dried up. It was like there was only like an outline of it. It was like they were weeks old. And it was absolutely amazing. So I couldn't wait to get to the seminar. Call on me. Here I am. I have a burning share. And it was an amazing thing because the work that we'd done before we went out to walk on fire to heal our bodies from within had worked. And it was almost like I was being shown, this is real. Hello. And you've healed your body. And so it was really a pivotal moment. And it's true. You have to be true to yourself and your values. And that is about character and integrity.
Right. Is there one tip you can share that you learned about when they talked about healing that the audience might be able to use when they're experiencing pain, maybe chronic pain or anything of that nature?
Well, I think we did a series of exercises, which were meditations, basically healing different parts of our body, where, you know, basically it's a meditation type of thing where, you know, you can surround an area with white light. I'll tell you, years ago.
Okay, so it's like visualization.
Yeah. Years ago, I did, I'll share this little short story with you, that years ago I had gone to my doctor. I was living in California, and he was an OBGYN, and he told me that he noticed a mass, and he wanted me to come back again a couple of months, and so I did. And when I went back, he said, no, it had definitely increased, and he sent me for a sonogram, and they concurred there was a problem. Well, I'm not one to run to doctors, and as a matter of fact, I was in the fashion accessories business, and I had a show like in a couple of weeks in New York. And so I went to see another doctor who was the head of a department in Cedars-Sinai Hospital, which, you know, is a major hospital in California, in Los Angeles.
Yes, I did my fellowship there. I love Cedars-Sinai. Yes.
Well, so I went there, and he concurred, and he called in his associate. And so I was really nervous, and they suggested doing a complete hysterectomy.
Oh,
and so, of course, I was a wreck. And so this does go back to your story. It sounds like it's getting off track, but it isn't. I had spoken to a girl at one point, and she told me she did an exercise. I'm whole. I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm free from disease. So for the next 3 weeks, I did this whole, healthy, free from disease. And I surrounded my body with white light. And I wasn't stupid. I had set up a surgical appointment when I came back. But I said, I'm not going in now. I have to go to New York for business. I came back, and I went in for the surgery. I'll never forget it as long as I live. The doctor, the second doctor I'd gone to, was walking alongside. He was the head of the hospital. And he said, I can't believe it. He said, it was muscle adhesions that you had, which didn't require any surgery at all. And so I could have gone without it. But I did that exercise, and I know someone else who had done it and healed her body, whole, healthy, free from disease, and I was. And so that would be, it's one thing that I recommend now to anyone who has an issue is to do that over and over and over again, hundreds of times a day. Because you can't heal your
body.
And,
you know, that's so much in line with the work that I do, which is, you know, what you're talking about are, like, affirmations, saying positive things about you, and in the present tense, as if they are the reality now. And so many people say that affirmations don't work. Well, it's because people don't repeat it sufficiently. In order for your brain to really pick it up and to incorporate it into the neural pathways, It has to be repeated and repeated over and over, like you say. And also, you've got to get emotionally involved in it. That assists with the learning and the incorporation part of it. And
The other thing is I've had people in my life over the years where they say, oh, well, I did this and it didn't work. So they say, oh, well, I'm a prosperous person, or, oh, I have this incredible business, or whatever they're saying. They say it once and then they say, okay, well, where's the money? Okay, well, where's the prosperity? Where's this? It's not a quick fix. It's something that you're supposed to believe in. You say it. And you have to let it go, but you have to say it over and over and over again. It has to be embedded.
Exactly.
You can't expect something to happen magically the next minute.
No. It doesn't work that way, and the brain doesn't work that way. And the brain is really involved in you getting what you want. So because you change your behaviors and your thoughts and your preconceptions and everything. Now, I know that, you have lived on the edge, but that you moved to Africa alone when you were 60 years old. What prompted you to do that?
I did indeed.
It's an ordinary decision. I think I'll move to Africa today.
Well, yeah, it was an interesting decision. Since 1996, I've been going on safari with a Maasai guide alone in Africa in four countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone on about 7 trips from 3 to 6 weeks, and I was finding that I was missing stupid things back home. And so if I tell you, you're going to laugh, but there were stupid things like sushi and Vanity Fair, my dogs, and
your dogs, I can understand.
And my friends, being able to pick up the phone and say hi. And so I stood at the top of Victoria Falls on one trip and asked how I could go on shorter trips more frequently. And a year later, I've said this before, which is there's a solution to every problem. So my solution was to move there.
Right.
So
I
closed my house. I had a house in East Hampton on Long Island. I closed my house up and packed up 21 boxes of things I couldn't live without, packed up the dogs, and rented a complete bed and breakfast. And I actually didn't know where I was going because it wasn't ever about a particular city. It was about being able to go on safari more frequently.
Right.
And I was going on safari in 4 other countries. So.
Okay.
The selection of a city had more to do with it being relatively cosmopolitan. And in Africa, that's a bit of a stretch. It's hard to find something. So that was how the moving decision came about. And the decision to move to Cape Town came about because I had eliminated Nairobi, Arusha, Mombasa, Johannesburg. I'd eliminated all those places which I'd been to. And so my girlfriend and her husband said to me, oh, we spent 3 days in Cape Town. It's beautiful. So I said, okay. I mean, it was that simple. It was never about where I was going to be. I mean, I had people say, oh, why Cape Town? Well, it was just being logistically closer to getting to Nairobi
so that
I didn't have to fly for 25 hours.
You had your goal and you knew what to do to go after it. I just wanted to take a break for a moment and say that if there are any listeners who want to call in, we would love to hear from you. The phone number you can dial in on is 657-383-1534. That's 657-383-1534. Okay, Georgine. Now, I know that you have a background in the area of basic human needs, and I thought it would be very fascinating for our listeners to hear what you have to share about the 6 basic human needs and how they can apply to a person's daily life.
Well, it is a very interesting area, and I don't think most people realize that every single day, productively or non-productively, they have to satisfy those six basic human needs. It doesn't matter whether you're the bum sleeping on a piece of cardboard in the subway or you're the richest guy in the world. You're satisfying those needs productively or non-productively. And that goes directly to your behavior and so what you do to get those needs satisfied. So the needs basically are love and connection, the feeling of being connected to friends, family, certainty, the feelings of stability, safety, security. Then there's uncertainty, which if you had certainty all the time, you'd be bored. So you have to have
absolutely
differentiation. So that's uncertainty is like you could get that with exercise or reading a book or going on a trip. Or non-productively, you could have an affair. So you know, that's a way to get satisfied non-productively. Then there's significance, feeling valued, important, significant. And if you satisfy, those four needs are for survival.
Right.
Then there's the last two are growth and contribution. So growth, you have to grow every day spiritually, emotionally, and physically every day. And if you don't, you die. And so you need to grow by learning. You can grow by learning. And the last one is contribution, to contribute to someone other than yourself. If you satisfy those two needs, you have automatically satisfied all the others. Unfortunately, I think people don't realize how they're getting their needs satisfied. So you see, like in today's society, you see a lot of people satisfying those needs, let's say with food. So you see people who are using food instead of filling that emptiness inside with a positive interactions with other people. They use food, and once you've satisfied three of the four survival needs non-productively, you're addicted to that behavior.
Okay, I got
it. And so it's like any other addict. I mean, and people don't realize that they're addicted to that behavior.
Oh, yeah.
They just continue doing the same thing over and over again.
Right, right. I can definitely see that happening. That's really fascinating. In fact, it reminds me of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, especially the top two. The first one you mentioned reminds me of self-actualization, and then the last one, he actually added on after he had built his structure, and that was to help other people. The meaning and the need was to help others, and that's very similar to your community.
Contribution, right.
Georgine, what advice? You've had so much experience, a wealth of experience. I know that you're brilliant and you're successful.
Thank you.
And I wonder, you know, how you can balance everything that you do. How do you keep your head or your brain on straight?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I do.
Maybe that's a little more interesting if you don't.
I think it's challenging, and you know I fill my life with so much on a daily basis, which I think helps keep me young. And I find that there are no such thing as obstacles in life. There's only challenges, and those challenges really are opportunities. And so I take advantage of those opportunities all the time. It's interesting because I spoke a week ago and in Las Vegas at the WGLA, and I spoke about getting rid of fear and how you jump off the cliff without a net. And one of the things that when I was putting the talk together, I realized that over the years in my life, I have won in major challenges against huge companies and people, And I realized that there were three things that I always had, and I'll share those with you.
Okay. Can you hold on one moment?
I sure can.
Because we're going to take a brief break. we're getting ready, folks, to go to commercial, and we will be right back after that. Here we
okay.
go.
Okay. I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah.
Hey, amazing listeners. Thanks for listening to the I Am Radio TV Network. We are thrilled to have you with us. Are you potentially looking to step it up this year in your own business? And are you a coach, an author, or a speaker that could utilize that platform that we offer to provide you with a show and be a partner in our network? We have three levels of participation. We have the platinum level, which also is involved with a phenomenal mastermind once a month. We have the gold level, and we have the silver level. If you would like more information on our levels of participation, and if you feel you're ready to take that next step and really boost your business and make an investment in you that's going to make a massive difference in your business, then please reach out and contact us. We'd be very happy to get back to you and send information to you for you to review. And once again, we thank you for being with us today and listening to the I Am Network.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And I am here with Georgine Summers, and she was just about to tell us three important, was it facts you were going to tell us?
Well, it's actually three things that I have always used when I've won in amazingly challenging situations, let's say that.
Okay, great.
Like against dealing with huge companies like American Express or KLM, Dutch Airways, in situations where you're faced with a huge challenge. And so I realized that I always had three things. One was a compelling argument that made sense. The second thing was I found leverage and I used it. And the third thing was I never back down, even after the fat lady sings. And so that's been present in my entire life, and it's why I've always, and I say always because I've come up against some pretty amazing and challenging obstacles, challenges over my life, and I've won in most of them. And so I offer that up as a little tidbit for your listeners.
Could you repeat those again for our listeners? I
sure.
think they're so valuable.
I'd be happy to. So the first one is, have a compelling argument that makes sense. Two is find leverage and use it. And the third one is never back down even after the fat lady sings.
Fantastic.
And so if you're right, you're right. And I mean, I believe in that. And I think far too many people say, oh, well, I'm right, but I'm not going to go to the mat with this. And
it's because the opponent, as you're saying, they can be these huge entities that are faithless. And we feel so disempowered around, you know, that. And the key word is, as you said, it's fear.
Right.
And it's the thought that we're not going to succeed.
But you see, you automatically fail if you don't go for it. So
exactly.
I mean, when people say to me about trying, oh, I'll try to do that, I have a favorite thing I say. Try to pick up that pencil off the desk. Try to pick that up. You either pick it up. Now, you might drop it later. You might drop it on the floor. Then what do? You pick it up again. So you're not going to be successful with every single thing that you do every time you do it. But if you don't go ahead and go for it, you automatically fail. It's that simple.
Exactly. And even if you do fail, there's so much of value that we learn from failures. That's how we learn. It's from when things don't work out.
It's a classroom. That failure is a classroom. It's a learning opportunity. So you go back and you do it again. And you do it better, and you don't make the same mistake. But if you don't jump out and do something, then you automatically fail.
Right. How about young women today? Coming from this age, what advice would you give a young woman today?
Oh, wow. It's an interesting thing because I see this a lot. And I was a single mother. You know, I was 19 when I had my son. And today I see young women, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Who's going to buy diapers? And they sort of fall back into this, oh, I'm a victim. This is terrible. Mm-hmm. When I was 19 years old and had a child, it was unheard of, really. You didn't do that. Women weren't out working like they are today. I went out and got a job. I mean, that's what I did. I went out and got a job, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't making $1 million a month or a year, but I got a job, mm-hmm. and I was able to support myself and my son because my ex-husband wasn't willing to do that. I didn't sit around and cry about, you know, how terrible life was. I just went on, and I think first of all, if I had any advice, don't get involved when you're too young. There's plenty of time to get into a relationship and to have children, have a family. This is the best time of your life for you to experience new things, to travel, to see other cultures, to really build the foundation of your future, so that instead of at the age of 30 saying, oh, gee, what am I going to do? And depending on someone else for your livelihood and your life. And believe me, I know a young girl right now, you know, she's in her mid-50s, but she doesn't have the skills to do anything. And it's very sad. Don't let that happen to you. Go out, get your schooling behind you, get a career, have a future, and then there's time for everything else that you want to do.
Did you say this young girl was in her 50s?
Well, I was young. She's young compared
to
me.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I love you,
Georgine. She's young compared to me, I suppose. She's actually my son's age. And when my son was alive. But she's my son's age. And because of the fact that there was so much given to her, she never learned to go out and do things herself. And this is why I say to young girls today, go and get your education behind you, get travel behind you, do things, get out there and experience and become your own person. And and you can always go and get into a relationship. That's the easy part.
Right. You know, you're reminding me of a young man I'm coaching, and he too, his mother gave him everything, and she really smothered him, and she interfered with his ability to grow up into a healthy adult. And now, you know, he has a whole bunch of symptoms that we're working on just because of that very reason, that he did not feel the bumps and bruises, and he did not get to experience all that much when he was growing up. So he's still,
crippling.
In essence, like a boy. Yes, he's like a
it's
boy.
It's crippling.
Yes, it is. It is. And I also want to give a plug to what you were saying about other cultures and traveling, because I grew up doing that because my parents were cultural anthropologists. And so I was so fortunate, my brothers and I, to be able to travel all over the world as we were growing up. And I know that had a huge impact on me and still does, and is probably the reason that I so much wanted to work with and help other people, because of the things that I saw. It just plants a seed in you of curiosity and tolerance, acceptance. I think it's so important for people to be able to see other cultures and societies.
Absolutely. I agree totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in Africa 9 years. I was back and forth between the States and Africa. And I have people there that I, you know, still am involved with, a little family, and, you know, I'm still very much involved over there. And it's amazing when you have that opportunity. And traveling all over the world, as you know, I've traveled all over the world and just seen some just unbelievable things. And I've been I crashed a Thai wedding 1 year. I did.
Well, how did you do that?
Just walked right in by accident. Didn't know there was a wedding going on, and there I was, right in the midst of it. It was wonderful. But the experiences that you get, the things that you see and that you can share, especially when you embrace the culture, when you try to speak the language, the people all over the world are so appreciative of it.
Yes.
You know, they do. They even if you can just speak a little, if you can just say the basic things, and everywhere I've been, I've found that to be true. Just the smallest little gesture that you've embraced their culture in some way really makes a huge difference to them, and how they deal with you and how they send back love.
Yeah. You know, and knowing your bio, there's a part that says, just ask Georgine and she will excitedly tell you how she intends to empower and inspire women with hope, courage, confidence, and the tools to live all of their dreams and realize their fullest potential for growth and greatness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think that in my coaching and seminars, I work, like I told you, and I also did have a show where I worked with women, and I had women on the show that were empowering. I think that trying to deal with women who have a lot of fear going on, and they don't want to step out of their comfort zone and try anything new. There's sort of like a societal pattern, I think, that goes on where they say, this is what you're supposed to do as a young woman. You're supposed to graduate high school, find a man. Usually these people get involved when they're very, very young, and have children. And that's what you're supposed to do. That's your life. And I don't agree with that. I find that there's so much more, and that people, women especially, are willing to settle for anyone that has a pulse, anyone who's breathing, still breathing, just to have somebody in their life. And even their peers, like I have one young lady who was a guest on my show and who is, you know, I've coached, and she's a friend, and she said to me, she's running a business, she's 26 years old, and she said to me one day, my friends tell me that I should stop this and that I should just find somebody and get married and have children, and I don't really want to do that. And I said, you're doing the right thing.
The 50s? What is
it, 1950s? You're doing the right thing. But you see, there's so many young girls today that are influenced by the past generations and by what their peers are doing, that they're repeating the same patterns. I mean, look at the high schools and look at where girls are today, and they get trapped, and they don't want to leave. I mean, I know situations right now where people are in a marriage, if you can call it that, where they've been married for 30 years, 40 years, and they're not married. They're not really married, not in the sense that I would want to be married. They're in a relationship, but they live separately. So I try to, when I coach my clients, I try to coach them against living like that. Step out. Don't be afraid. Live your life. Live with passion. Become who you are. And then when you're a whole, healthy person, you're going to attract another whole, healthy person. You're not going to attract somebody who's dysfunctional, because I think most of society is pretty dysfunctional today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a continuous, it's like a hamster on a wheel. It's a continuous circle. And, you know, if you're dysfunctional in a relationship and you're dysfunctional as a parent because you don't know what to do, then it just continues.
Absolutely. It's a cycle.
So,
it's a cycle.
It is a cycle. And it has to be broken. And so I'm like, I want to break it. And it's a big project. But I know it can be done. It's about being inspirational to other women and showing them there's another way.
Yes, and you've certainly embodied that in your lifestyle and the choices that you've made.
Yeah, I think so.
You have. You know, I wanted to take a few moments now for us to talk about something that you and I are working on together.
Uh-huh.
And it
La Dolce Vita Spa Retreats.
Right, La Dolce Vita, the sweet life, La Dolce Vita Spa Retreats. And it is going to be a series of spa retreats. And we'll be holding one May 13th through the 15th at the Four Seasons Biltmore in Montecito in Santa Barbara. And the beautiful resort. I mean, it's just gorgeous, isn't it?
I'm excited. Yeah, it's going to be fabulous. I mean, this is some incredible weekend because it's about pampering and luxury and learning. So I said it's where luxury and learning collide.
Yes,
I
love that.
It truly is because it's meant to really pamper with, gosh, VIP dinners, gourmet dinners, and fabulous food for 2 days, and VIP cocktail parties and spa treatments, and like 11 hours of learning, intensive learning and tools and techniques. You're going to be doing a lot of things on neurohypnosis and tapping.
And tapping, brain retraining.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's exciting. And, I mean, this is something that's going to send women to the next level. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's life-altering. And I'm so excited. I can't wait for it. And don't we have a special offer that we're doing, too?
Yeah, why don't you tell them about that?
Well, just to go for the weekend to this resort, because it's really one of the most iconic resorts. It's right by the water.
It's right across from the ocean.
Yeah, right. It's gorgeous.
And we'll be taking walks at the water's edge in the morning.
Right. Well, you know, just to go there for the weekend, because I was looking at everything the other day, the hotel room, because it's all individual accommodations. There's nobody's going to have to share. And it's it's all meals for the whole weekend, all tips, all taxes, and two spa treatments of their choice. And
so they can get massages.
Right.
Wraps,
body wraps.
Whatever they want. Right.
Well, just to go there for the weekend is what we're charging for the entire seminar, because we're doing special work. It's going to be
with all those extras?
Yeah. And then it's 2 days of intensive seminars, and it's a savings of $2,300. So it's $36.97 for the entire weekend with everything.
That is so fantastic. I mean, I just,
and that's,
yeah.
If you just went for the weekend for everything that we're doing, that's how much it would cost you. I think the rooms are like $9.95 each.
Right,
so we got,
right.
You know, we've put everything together and at this amazing price, and they're getting you and I for 2 days.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
right. It's incredible. So we don't have. Oh,
and
they'll
be able.
We didn't
and
mention
be able to. They'll be able to meet with the other women.
Yeah,
and probably develop
women.
Friendships that can last a lifetime.
Right, but it's only 10 women. So it's
right,
like
only 10 women.
A small group, and so this is going to be incredible.
Yes,
and so I'm excited. I don't know if we. I know we have a few spots left. I'm not sure how many, but I know we have a few. And then,
what would people do if they wanted to find out if they wanted to sign up or find out how many spaces are left?
Well, they can write us at info@LaDolceVitaSpaRetreats with an S. So it's info
right.
at La Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, V-I-T-A, S-P-A-R-E-T-R-E-A-T-S.com. And we'll send all the information through. It's exciting. I'm excited because we're going to do... we're going to do that one in Santa Fe, New Mexico at another Four Seasons, and we're looking to do them all across the country. So this is the premier event, and it's going to be
this is the one I'm very
fantastic
excited
one.
About.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yes, right. Well, that's just it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be wonderful, and the women that do go are going to be really fortunate, and we're going to be fortunate for having them as well.
Right.
Now, I had another question for you, and this is about you've talked a lot about marriages that weren't really marriages and women getting involved too young and so on. I know that you met your soulmate in Africa online. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite topics. Actually, yeah, and I met him online. So when I hear people telling me, oh, no, that's so dangerous, oh, it's awful, oh, it's horror stories, oh, I've met 20 people online, and none of them worked out, well, that's because you didn't do it right. And so, excuse me, I was just ready, actually, to come back from Africa. I was going to move back because my plan had been for 1 year, and then I ended up there 2 years because I bought a house over there. And I had made a decision that after 20 years of being divorced for the third time, I said, and I had plenty of dates. I could date every night of the week if I wanted to, but I was really looking for something more. And so when that didn't come around, I really stopped dating for the last few years. And I had been single, like I said, for 20 years. Right. And so I went online. I said to myself, I'm ready for a real relationship with a grown-up, grown-up being the optimum word. So
right.
I had found two people, interesting people online in the States. And basically, it's about how you vet. It's like any corporate interview, it's how you vet that person's profile is how it is directly shows the results that you'll get. So anyway, I wanted to have someone Africa for whatever time I was going to be there. So I went online in Africa. I believe in being very proactive, and I looked at pictures. I wouldn't talk to anybody that didn't have a picture. And I found this picture of this handsome guy. He had a gorgeous girl with him, which it turned out later to be his daughter.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well, I didn't care because I wasn't going to stay there. And so all I was looking for was someone to round out dinner parties or whatever. And I was satisfied with in my own life. I wasn't looking for anyone. I was happy whether I was alone or not. I had my writing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've written 3 books on relationships. And so I was happy living my life. I decided that I would like to have someone in it, but it wasn't a need that I had. And so that's different. When you come,
that's very different. That makes all the difference, you know.
Right. When you come half full,
the need versus the want.
Right. And like I say, you know, two halves only make a whole when you're in the market dealing with melons or tomatoes, not with people. And you see so many people who are really not whole people. They're looking. They need somebody in their life to make them complete. And that means that they're not whole and happy within themselves. And you need to be whole and happy. Otherwise, what you're going to do is you're going to magnetize a person that's also not whole and happy. And that's really the beginning of the end. And so, because it doesn't work. I mean, when you have two not healthy, let me say dysfunctional people that come together in a relationship, then you're going to have problems from the beginning. And that's why there's so much divorce in this country, is because people are not whole and healthy when they come into a relationship. So anyway, we met, we talked, texted, and we finally met. And, you know, we were friends. We knew something was going on, but I wasn't going to stay there in Africa. And I think one of the things that I urge women to do when I coach is always be true to yourself. And so I did not want to get involved, and I was adamant about it. And even though I was attracted to him and he to me, I was not going to get involved in a physical, emotional relationship. And I told him so. And so when I decided that I was going to stay and see where things went, because he was such a special person, I did that, and I watched as things unfolded, and, you know, I was vulnerable, and I was available to be hurt if that's what happened, because there's no guarantees. And it ended up that by the time that we finally really knew we wanted to have a relationship, We loved each other for who we were as people, what was inside, mm-hmm. not outside. And we married New Year's Eve in a fairy tale wedding in 2004.
Oh, how wonderful.
It was amazing. And we work together today, and we have projects going together, and he has a humanitarian company, and, you know, we have a wonderful partnership, relationship, and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a grown-up.
You
have to ask for what you want. So you say it to the universe, I'm ready for a real relationship with a grown-up.
With a grown-up. I'll remember that.
And then wait.
I haven't had that addendum to my efforts to date, so I'll have to add that in.
Add that in, and you say it out loud, because you see, if you can't say it out loud, then you're afraid that you might get it, so you don't want to really do that. So you have to be willing to say it out loud and mean it. And once I did that, I was in Panama when I actually said it in 2004. I'm ready for a real relationship with a grown-up. And 1 month later, I met my husband on the Internet. So it works. Wow. I mean, that was pretty quick.
That was. That's like the affirmations.
Right.
Right.
The universe answered me very quickly, and they sent me a winner. So it was great.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. You've left us with so many words of wisdom, little snippets, you know, like there's a way.
There's a solution to every problem. Right. A solution
for
every
problem.
And there's no such thing as trying. There is no such thing as trying. You either do it or you don't. Now, you may fail, but you either do it or you don't. If you don't, you fail automatically.
You fail automatically. That's another one. And you mentioned, of course, not giving up even until after the fat lady sings.
You never give up. You never give up.
You never give up.
I mean, if I told you some of the stories that I've had where I've dealt with huge companies and I fought them and it looked hopeless. It was like hopeless. And I've won. And I've won because I stayed on track and because I had leverage, whatever it was that I managed to find as leverage. I used it in an intelligent way. And believe me, and winning against people like KLM Dutch Airways and Travelers Insurance and American Express, and then, of course, I had the nightclub, and so that was an interesting thing.
Oh, boy, that was, why don't you tell us briefly a little bit about that?
Yeah, when I was in New York, when I went to New York and I was in the commodities market, what I neglected to say was about 4 months into that, my then-boyfriend, who had a very good mind, and he would come up with all these amazing things that he was going to do, and he never finished anything. And so I said to myself, the very next thing he comes up with, I am going to be sure he finishes it. So I remember we were walking across the street, and he starts telling me about this nightclub that he wants to do. And so I said, that's it. And so I raised the money, and we had two partners, two investors, and I raised the money, and we found a townhouse in Manhattan, of all places.
Right.
And so while I was in the commodities market working on not being rejected, he was over trying to get the space built out. And so at one point, he couldn't really get it done. And this was about 9 months into my tenure in the commodities market. And so I have this thing where I say, okay, when I was doing the commodities market, it was about rejection and cold calling. So I said, do I need the money more than I hate the cold calling? And so I do that all the time, and I recommend that to people, is when you're faced with a decision, nothing is written in stone. You can change it later. You can say, I don't like this so much. But when you do something, do it with passion. When I went to the commodities market, even though I was dealing with something I hated, I did it with passion. And then there he was trying to get the club open. So I said to myself, do I need the money more than I need to get the club open? So I said, I need to get the club open. And so I walked away from the money. I said, turn over a paint can. I'm coming in. And I went down there, and a month later,
got the club open
a month later. And we dealt with, you know, we had Andy Warhol and Grace Jones and the Village People. So, I mean, it was a pretty hot place. And but we had our challenges. I mean, think Sopranos on steroids.
So you had to deal with the mafia there.
Yeah. And so, you know, those are things that, you know, winning is, it takes a lot of different forms. And so I just say that if you keep those three things in your mind, that a compelling argument, having leverage, and don't back down even after the fat lady sings, you can go up against anything and you can come out winning. And like I said, it takes different forms.
Well, you have the evidence of your life to show you that it works. That's a winning formula.
Right.
Georgine, I wanted to thank you so much for joining me today on the Dr. Simone Show, the Mind Body Edge. It's been wonderful to have you, and you really represent this show, having lived on the edge yourself so many times and taking leaps off the mountain without a net.
Thank you.
Sure. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure that our audience enjoyed listening to what you had to share. And I'll be back on in 2 weeks with a brand new show for all of our listeners. And until then, goodbye.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I've appreciated the time. Thank you very much.
Sure, Georgine. Goodbye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.